But first we turn to the latest big news for the Strip. Australian billionaire James Packer announced that his company Crown Resorts will build a new casino on the site of the new frontier. An Israeli-based consortium paid more than $1 billion for that same land before the crash. Crown and its partners are now taking advantage of that mistake because they were able to buy the land for much less than the Israelis paid. So when can we expect construction to begin? Joining us now to talk about this new casino is Howard Stutz, who covers gaming for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Howard, welcome back to KNPR.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So what do we know about this new casino? Will it have a theme, or is it going to be a luxury resort?
Well, let's not buy our tickets yet for the grand opening, because this is really just a real quick announcement. They really haven't said anything. They just said that they hope to break ground next year and open by 2018, and that's about it. And basically the announcement was to confirm what a lot of was reported last week, that Packer had an interest in the New Frontier site, ended up buying it, or at least we're not even sure what the ownership stake is. We know Oak Tree Capital's involved, and so they're the money behind it. Packer's owns a good chunk of the site. He bought for about $280 million. And Andrew Pascal is going to have some involvement in this new company. So
let's look at those things. I mean, Crown seems to have made a pretty smart deal for the Frontier side, considering it last changed hands for over $1 billion.
Oh, yeah. It just shows the valuation. You remember Resorts World, the Genting Group, they paid a far less I think it averaged out about $3 million an acre for the Stardust site, the old Echelon site. So, yeah, that just shows the value that Strip land has fallen considerably.
And so basically these guys have bought this up out of bankruptcy.
Yeah, it's either out of bankruptcy or foreclosure. I mean, the Israeli companies that had the land, spent, $1.2 billion, had all these elaborate plans, and then the recession hit and the whole thing fell apart. So we just don't know yet what they're going to do. And Ian, as you remember as well as anybody, Crown's had a couple different, runs here, tries in Las Vegas. They were trying to. They were involved with the Cannery Casinos Company for a while. They were looking at this site where the Wet and Wild site, I think it was, where they wanted to put some type of Crown Tower and Crown International. Both those projects fell apart. So.
And they lost a lot of money doing it, right?
Yeah, they lost. I think it was like, I can't remember, $200-300 million or something. Maybe he's trying to get it all back now with this, but. So he's had a couple of stops and starts. James Packer was associated with the Cosmopolitan earlier this year, too, as a possible buyer before it was sold. So there's just a lot of questions to it. I mean, it's a good sign, don't get me wrong, that, if the Frontier site, if somebody real is actually, going to take the, buying ownership of the site and take it, and Oak Tree Capital's, that's nothing to sneeze at. They're a big hedge fund investment firm, so we'll see where it all ends up from there.
And the third leg of this is a former Wynn executive, Andrew Pascal. What role did he play in putting this deal together?
Not real sure. It sounds like he came together with Packer on this. Andrew ran his history is he's Elaine Wynn's nephew. He ran Wynn Las Vegas for a while. Before that, he actually started a slot machine company. The name is escaping me right now because it was so many years ago, but which he sold to IGT. But he's done this before. His most recent venture, he's been involved in a company that's doing all the social gaming sites for MGM Resorts International. So I don't know what his exact role is all this. I mean, maybe getting everybody together, but he's going to have the title of co-chairman of this new company with James Packer, and looks like he's going to be pretty involved in whatever they end up doing out there.
So Pascal has run kind of luxury mega resorts. Is that a sign that maybe that's going to be something of the same here at the New Frontier?
You would see what that seems to be what it is. I mean, but right now, of course, as you and I both know, the market's had a lot of problems. It's just starting to come back. What we're seeing is these redevelopments like the Cromwell and now the SLS Las Vegas, which is opening later this month, the old Sahara. Resorts World still hasn't begun construction. I mean, the site's there, and that's going to be about a $4 billion project, but that's still, you're looking at a 2017 opening for that. So you know, mega resorts, hard to say exactly what anybody would really do yet in this market. You know, they may, you know, it's going to be a question of what the market can handle at that time.
Well, I mean, a lot of the commentators, though, are saying that this is a sign that the Strip is bouncing back, that we're maybe even going back to the era of mega resorts. Is that being too optimistic?
That's being too optimistic. I mean, the Strip is bouncing back. There's no question. Things are moving forward, moving ahead. I mean, there's good signs. You know, slot revenues on the Strip are up. All the different, you know, we've been so resilient on, you know, relying on baccarat for so long, and that's finally, hopefully, we're getting away from that and moving to more of the middle market gambler. And of course, it's also a lot of the non-gaming revenues, as we've talked about in the past, that are really driving the Strip results. So the mega resort, I think let's slow down a bit. Let's just see what these guys end up, you know, doing. I think it's a good sign that this site, which is, you know, somewhat of an eyesore, you know, has finally, you know, changed hands with a buyer that, you know, may be able to do something with it.
Well, I mean, with those resorts, even the two that are projected for the north end of the Strip being stretched out over the next 5 years or so, could we end up with too many luxury hotel rooms along the Strip again?
That's always the fear, and I think they're not going to make that mistake this time, you know, that would happen. I mean, that was we came up with all these too many luxury rooms. You know, SLS has got to, you know, they've got to get their foot on the ground now in the market. I mean, they're in a challenge situation because they're down on the far end of the Strip. It's not really a walking, you know, they're not going to get the walk-in traffic like the resorts in the center of the Strip get. So they're going to have an issue of bringing people down there. Now MGM is going to build this big festival, outdoor music festival site across the street. So that'll be a help. That might help MGM spur some redevelopment to the Circus. Fountain Blue is still sitting there like an eyesore. That's the other problem. And, you know, and Riviera has been challenged for the last few years. So, you know, we'll just see what the idea of the mega resort comeback era, I think we're jumping the gun a little bit on that.
And so Crown and Genting are going to just stretch out the time they build these resorts to avoid those mistakes?
I think, you know, Genting's been very methodical in what they've done. They bought the land. Then it took them a year. They wanted to get licensed first, or not licensed. They wanted to be found suitable. It's something they just wanted to know that they were going to be able to get through with the Nevada gaming regulators. They did that. I think we'll probably see some activity on the site later this year. And then you build it out in your first phase out by 2017. So they've stretched it out. They've been very methodical with this. And I think and it just seems to me that's what we're going to see with this, the Packer. They're not going to rush to try to get something up. That might be the mistake. They don't want to do that. It seems like they'll be a little bit more methodical in what they end up doing.
And we know, I mean, both Crown and Genting have big presence in Macau, and they both plan to bring Chinese high rollers into Las Vegas. That means all but one of the Macau casino operators will be trying to bring Chinese high rollers to Las Vegas. Now, it's obviously a great time to be a Chinese high roller, but could too many resorts be putting their faith in bringing those big baccarat players into Las Vegas?
Yeah, that could be an issue at some point. You know, I mean, you know, how many big baccarat players are there in the world? I think that could be a real challenge. Crown's had a very good presence in Macau, as you've said. You know, Genting is in Singapore. So there's, you know, there could be that challenge that you're going to face. I think the real key is trying to drive, you know, some of the, you know, the traditional Las Vegas customers back to the market, whether it's for gaming, whether it's for creating new customers through, you know, through all the non-gaming activities. And that's what I think we're going to see a lot of these properties doing now.
And it'll be 4 or 5 years before the big opening.
Yeah. And so, don't buy your tickets yet, Ian. Don't rush to eBay to get a ticket yet.
Howard Stutz reports on gaming for the Las Vegas Review Journal. Thanks for joining us, Howard.
Anytime, Ian. Thanks for having me on.